Amen. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 5, and then we're going to go to Deuteronomy. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9, and then we're going to Deuteronomy chapter 25. Of course, 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9, you know these verses. Probably have heard them many, many times. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. No question about the adversary. He is the devil. I talked this morning a little bit about him being one of our enemies, one of the three, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And certainly, the warning is very clear. Be sober. That means serious. Vigilant. That means we need to be on duty all the time, watching. The Bible talks about circumspectly. That means looking around, watching behind, forward, sides, everything. He is our adversary. That means he's our enemy. That means he's not our friend. He's never our friend. He never will be your friend. He'll never be one you can trust. He is our adversary. You cannot trust your adversary. And as a roaring lion, certainly he has a very loud roar. He would love to just scare you. He would love to scare us from doing anything for God. But he is a roaring lion. But that's not his purpose, just to roar. He walks about seeking whom he may devour. He would like to devour you. He would like to end your service for the Lord. He would like to destroy you. He would like to destroy me. That is what he does. And God says to resist him steadfast. No question about what God is saying here. I say all that and I read that because you and I, we're under attack and we will be attacked. And we're going to be attacked more and more. Now, go to Deuteronomy and we see another enemy, just like the devil. And I preached, I don't know when it was, several months ago, about the flesh. But Amalek reminds me of the flesh. And Deuteronomy 25 and verse 17 says, remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when you were come forth out of Egypt, how he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. Therefore it shall be when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about. Doesn't that sound good? Doesn't that sound good? When the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemies. That's heaven, folks. All right, that is heaven. That's the rapture, or that's when you die. There's going to be rest. You're not going to have to worry about enemies any longer. But until then, you're going to be attacked. You are under attack. We are under attack. And so anyway, we'll get back to verse 19 later on. But I want to talk to you about those words, you will be attacked. This actually, I started working on this a while back, and for our last chapel, I was going to preach this in our school. And I had it all like, kind of working on it and everything. And then the Lord laid something else on my heart to preach what I did preach on for our last chapel. And so God just kind of shifted me into this for Sunday night, because the truth of the matter is we're all under attack. And I think you're going to see that very clearly as the scriptures kind of show us some things. Again, this morning, I talked about our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world, of course, the cosmos around us. Again, understand, I'm not talking about the Mother Earth or anything. I'm talking about a system that is united against God. That is the world. You hear all the conspiracy theories and all the, well, there's one conspiracy. You don't have to worry about all the other conspiracy. There's one, okay, that hates you. There is a conspiracy that is out to get us, okay? And again, it's not some secret. It's very out in the open. It's Satan, and it's a world system against God's will and God's way and God's word. It is a world system that wants a world without God. It is a world system that will have that. They'll have their Antichrist. It is a world system that is going to be very, very strong, very solid. It isn't going to take a lot of time to set up, because it's already being set up. It already is a system. It is a cosmos. It is against God. And that world hates you. The world attacks you. The flesh, that is you and me. That's who we are. Our own flesh is our enemy, and of course the devil is our enemy, and we are under attack. And you might as well just, you know, we need to face that. We need to understand that. The battle rages on all fronts that we consider our life. Every area of your life, you're under attack. Every you say, well, you know, I'm feeling pretty good. And I think, I want to show you some things tonight, because you are being attacked. Father, bless the preaching. Please speak to our hearts and give us exactly what we need tonight. I pray you'll speak to us and challenge us from your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The truth of the matter is, most of us here are not planning. We don't have it written down somewhere. Backslide this summer. You know, we don't have it on our calendar. Okay, school's out, now I can backslide. Most don't plan a wicked summer. But it's sad to say, and it is one of my biggest fears, that in the summer, often we get in trouble. Not just our school students, not just those that come back from college. I'm talking about everybody. I'm talking about all church people. I'm talking about Christians, because a lot of times we just don't think about the attack of Satan. We don't understand the world's attack. We don't. We don't understand how our own flesh it gets stirred up in the summertime. And the truth of the matter is, I've watched people backslide for many years. And summer is one of the most dangerous times. You are being attacked. And Satan is a roaring lion. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. Paul was hindered, he said in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 18. Satan hath hindered me. He said, I want to come to you. I want to preach to you. I want to help you. But Satan hindered me. Daniel prayed. And when he prayed, the Bible says that the prayers were hindered. Satan fought against those prayers. I'm thinking about the cottage prayer meetings. We have a couple of them scheduled for the summer. And you know, Satan's going to be trying to hinder that by stopping people from praying and by stopping your prayers from getting anywhere. I mean, the battle is unbelievable that goes on. It's amazing to think that the invisible battle going on right here tonight. We talked about it in our Sunday school class, and how Satan, when the rapture takes place, this is his dominion. He is the prince of the power of the air. God has allowed him that position. And if you can imagine, when the rapture takes place, we're going to go right through his dominion up to Jesus. I mean, and the battle, though, that clears the way, it's going to be an amazing battle. I said this morning, it'd be a bloody battle. Well, angels don't bleed, I don't think. But it's going to be a battle, folks. Unbelievable what goes on when that takes place. Well, everything's leading up to that. Everything's coming. Do not have this idea that somehow, well, you know, everything's okay now. School's out. Everything's all right. I'm ready to go for God, and I'm going to do some great things. Understand, the devil's not going to just sit back and let you do it without putting up a fight. He's not going to let us as a church do the things we plan to do. He's not going to just sit back and say, they're going to do what they want to do. He's going to fight everything. He always does. He always will. And so, we're under attack. Young people, you need to understand, you're under attack. You finish school, and some are still in school. Several public school kids, you're still in school for a week or 2 weeks. But again, no matter how successful you were, no matter what happened, understand the devil's, you say, well, I just graduated. You know, I'm ready to kick back and relax. Don't. It's not time to relax. It's time to look out, because Satan is after us. And all three of these enemies are going to, they're going to be full force after you and I. It's, by the way, it's already happened. It's already happened, because our own flesh, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but I will, that's okay. You know, our own flesh, what is it? What is it our flesh tells us? You need to take a break. Right? Now, again, maybe you do. And your spirit can want a break as well. And there's nothing wrong with that. But oftentimes it's our flesh. You know, well, you need to take a break. Oh, you know, how much flesh after school's out, how much flesh said, wait, you've gone to chapel all year long in school. You can miss church one day. Well, look around. Some flesh believe that anyway. I mean, you know. Well, you just had a great victory. You don't. I mean, come on. You're too tired. You need to take a break. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't go on the bus route. Don't go to church. And our flesh. You know. Let's be honest. I mean, our flesh was saying, "You don't need church. You don't have to go Sunday night. Come on. You just had all this church." Boy, it happens all the time. Right after pastor school, you know, it's like you go to pastor. Well, let's see. I heard all these messages. Now I can skip church. I've watched people do it. Hey, you know, here you have this great time. And that there goes that flesh. And, you know, staff members, it's like, oh, well, I'm sure glad school's over. And then your flesh all of a sudden starts saying, you know, well, you're tired. You deserve a break. You don't need to read your Bible now. Good night. You did it. You did it all the time. You did it all year long. I mean, you can take a break. Don't take a break. Don't stop. Just be aware Satan is after you. And your flesh is part of that enemy against you, and the world is against you. Of course, the world's doing their thing. I mean, you know, the advertising is for nudity. Hello. I mean, it's out there, and the world is, you know, flashing everything at you, and Satan is attacking you and throwing his darts and everything. And thank God, our Heavenly Father watches over us, as Stacy just sang. Amen. Praise the Lord. I mean, it's so good that we know He's watching over us, but He tells us, hey, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, he's looking for a little crack in your defense. He's looking for the weak side of the wall. He's looking for that area to attack you. And he uses the world. He uses your own flesh. And he himself throws his darts at you. When does he attack? Well, we have an idea here of Amalek. Amalek, to me, I always think of the flesh whenever I read about Amalek. And verse 17, it says, "Remember what Amalek did unto thee." By the way, why would they need to remember that, you know? If it wasn't going to teach them something. And so I go to that, and I have before and studied that and analyzed that. And there's a little strategy that's involved here. And the first thing that I find when Satan attacks us is when we are victorious. There's a perfect time for an attack. I mean, you understand that God's people here just had a great victory. God's people just had a wonderful victory, and they just had several great victories. And so it is only natural that right after a great victory, right after you've had a victorious time, boy, Satan's going to attack. Be ready for it. I mean, here you are. I mean, you're just now putting the trophy in the case. You know, you're just now, just taking the medal off and putting it somewhere where it's safe. I mean, you just now, you take the ribbons and put them away and the certificates and you're putting them away and wow, well, that was a great thing. And maybe it's a student, you got no demerits. Maybe it's a student, you had perfect attendance. Maybe it's a student, you made honor roll all these times. And whatever it might be, you had this great, great victory. And all of a sudden, look out. Look out, because Amalek came right after a victory. Right after, when we are victorious is a perfect time. I mean, here, Israel had seen God bring the plagues on the Egyptians. They had seen God part the Red Sea. Hey, look what our God does. Look how we got a victory over Egypt. Pharaoh can't touch us. They've seen manna brought down from heaven. They've seen water come from the rock. I mean, you talk about a great victory in their lives. You talk about a time of shouting and praising God. But you know what? You get shouting and praising God too much, you're not watching. Because he's out there. The devil's out there. And your flesh is out there. It says in Exodus 17 and verse 8, right after the water came from the rock. I mean, it was just right after that. It says, then came Amalek. Then the flesh kicks in. Then the flesh kicks in. Sometimes it kicks in like this. Look what I've done. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Any of us can. It's after graduation. Look what I've done. You know, I'll be honest with you. We need to brag about our graduates. Amen. You need to talk about it. You need to make much of it. You need to, you need to give them that pat on the back and say, good job, congratulations, I'm proud of you. I told each of our graduates, I'm proud of you. And I am proud of them. And they achieved a great thing. Just be careful. just be careful, you graduates. Be careful, sir, you just got a promotion. Be careful, ma'am, you just had some sort of an award. Be careful. Be careful. You just had a prayer answered. Boy, there's a time. You know, just get a prayer answer. You say, yeah, but I'm up, man. God, look what God did. Well, I understand that. Just be careful. Be careful. And by the way, always give God the glory. Amen. Amen. You know, in my mind, and I watched our graduates, and I'm so proud of them, the pictures in the paper. Honestly, newspaper, they did a great, great job. I'm just so thrilled about that. But, you know, I think about that line right there, those young people, and I, in my mind, I envisioned Satan targeting them. You know, if I could have seen the red dot, you know, the laser on them, that's exactly how I thought. Satan's targeting every one of them. Satan's targeting these young people. Satan has a target on him. He hates it, absolutely hates what goes on around here. And he hates it. And Kenny came to me tonight. Kenny says, hey, preacher, he said, I'm really excited about preaching. God's just really got me excited about preaching. And immediately I thought of my message. I said, I hope the devil's not listening. Oh, I got news for you. He is listening. He listens to all of us. He knows what's going on. He's paying attention to what's going on. We need to pay attention. And when we're victorious, we honestly, it is a time that our flesh kicks in. It's a time the world gets after us. It's a time that the devil attacks. Yeah. You know, at a victory, sometimes at a victory, you let down your guard. You know, a staff, all year long, you're praying. All year long, you're begging God. All year long, you're praying for students. Are you listening, fellas? Are you listening, ladies? Teachers, are you seriously, you know, all year long you're begging, oh God, please help me. And now, tomorrow, you don't need God's help. No class. You don't have a class tomorrow. No chapel message on Tuesday. You don't have staff devotions this week. Uh-huh. Well, you know, I guess I could, I wouldn't have to pray quite as long. I wouldn't have to get up quite as early now. There's not as much to, yeah, be careful. Be careful. You know, that victory wasn't accidental. Those victories are not just luck. Okay, do you want to keep being victorious? You know, we love the song Victory in Jesus, but I don't want to just sing it once. I like singing it over and over again. Amen. I mean, seriously, don't let down your guard. Don't let down. You know, here you got on the altar and you made a major decision. It happens all the time. And you get up and you say, wow, boy, that's a relief. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then you walk back and it's almost like, wow, boy, I'm sure glad that's over. No, if you just made a decision, it just started. Now you have to keep the decision. Amen. Pray, 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 and watch. And be careful and watch for the devil. He's attacking. Your flesh will attack you. You know, parents, school's out. Look out. Look out. Honestly, be careful. Boy, my child got no demerits. You know, some of you are shocked. But remember this, there is no armor in Ephesians 6 for your back. There's no armor. Don't turn your back on the devil. Don't you dare. Don't any of us. We cannot get to a place where we somehow think, you know, this. We got this thing figured out and we can just keep having victory without praying, without reading our Bible, without being faithful, because it's not going to happen. Oh, listen, no armor in the back. Look out. Right after victory, Satan attacks. Don't be shocked, senior. Don't be shocked, you know. Preacher, I had my my open house already and everything. Boy, it sure went well. Everybody came and just be ready. Keep watching. Keep watching. I don't know. It breaks my heart to even start thinking about how many graduates flopped the summer after their graduation. I don't even want to think about it. Honestly, I'm talking about young people got up here. And they stood up at a microphone, either here or at another church, and they stood at the microphone and they said, and I'm going to, and they said what they were going to do, and part of it in there was, I'm going to serve God. And they haven't yet. That breaks my heart. What happened? They had a victory and Satan attacked them. And it happens. Number one, The attack comes when we have a victory. Number two, the attack comes when we are vulnerable. Hey, you know, the devil, he's a classic commander. He knows how to attack. He looks for the weakness. Amalek here, and again, this is so much like our flesh. Amalek, remember what Amalek did unto thee, by the way, when you were come forth out of Egypt? Again, they're having a great victory here. But notice, he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, the people in the back, the people that were, the Bible says this, it says, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou was faint and weary, when we are vulnerable. That's it. I've been real careful not to say, you know what, I'm just really exhausted. It's not like he doesn't know that. Somebody the other day, I was talking to him, and a visitor at the graduation, they said, you really look tired. I said, well, I was feeling pretty good. But yeah, and immediately I'm thinking, don't tell the devil that. But but when we're vulnerable, get ready. You say, all right, I'm going to be honest. I'm tired. I'm wiped out. Okay, then be ready. Because he's going to attack you. Don't ever be so tired. Don't ever be so weak that you're not aware of what's going on around you. Because he's after you. I see people that, they just complete a big job. And Satan attacks. Right after vacation Bible school, you'd be amazed how many people backslide right after vacation Bible school. How many backslide right after camp? How many backslide right after a conference? How many backslide right after pastor school? You say, why? How could they do that? Because they're wore out, and Satan attacks. He's looking for the weak wall. Read the book of Nehemiah. We studied it, went through it. And you know, you remember how we got to reinforce the wall. We got to go here. And I'll sound the trumpet whenever this wall's starting to come down or the defense isn't going to hold, and we'll send more troops that way. You know, we have to know where we're weak and be ready for the attack. It's kind of like right after graduation, you know, right after a school year. It seems like this time of year, Satan always attacks. I think there's two reasons. One, because of what just happened, and two, because of what's going to happen. He absolutely hates our Bible school, and he hates the fair ministry. He hates summer soul winning. Summer soul winning is the best soul winning we have. Why? People let you in. You find them in the yard. You find people. It's not dark when you knock on their door, and they don't lock the door, you know, double lock when they hear you out there. And it's the best time. Boy, Satan, you know, we're so vulnerable. We're vulnerable. The hindmost, the feeble, the faint, the weary. I know students are tired. I know parents, you get weary. I know staff members are tired. Brother Chase is getting ready to go away on a vacation. And what's that mean? Oh, driving all the way to New Hampshire. Yay. Patty and Saritha going away on a luxurious vacation. Driving all the way to Texas. You know? Where Saritha is not, it's not going to be fun. It's going to be a trial. It's going to be tough. I'm just saying, be ready. There's going to be an attack. And the attack is not going to be fair. His attacks never are fair. Isaiah 40, verse 31. Wait. Amen. What a great verse. I've got two pictures of it in my office. Isaiah 40 and verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. And again, it's a matter of I need to keep praying. It's a matter I need to keep reading my Bible. It's a matter I need to keep doing my devotions. Oh yeah, but preacher, you don't understand. There's no merit slip to fill out. You need to keep doing right. Whether you get to fill out a merit slip or not, just do right. The merit program is not just so you can go out to eat. The merit program is not just so we can honor you. The merit program, if you do it and you do it right, it's to protect you. It's to keep you prepared for the attack that is inevitable. It's coming. Amalek, our flesh. Boy, we get tired. You ever get tired of fighting? Yeah. What's that all about? We're supposed to keep fighting. Ephesians 6 is still in the Bible. I'm not ready to hang my armor up, are you? You ever get tired of it, though? I mean, just exhausted. Physically and spiritually. You know what? You ever have these words come to your mind? What's the use? It's not time to quit, though. And by the way, as soon as you utter those words, what's the use? I promise you, your flesh, the world, and the devil will work on that. Trying to convince you, what's the use? Where's the pity party come from? Where does it come from? Our flesh. Nobody likes me. Everybody resents what I did. Boy, and it's tough too. And again, where are you? Well, you're at the back. You know, you're tired. Maybe you're wounded. You're limping along. And the enemy, I'm telling you, it's merciless, the attack. We just have to keep going. Amen. Got to keep working. Got to, when you complete the job, it's what I preach to the young people at graduation. You finish the race, now the next race is coming. Now you just start a new race. Finish the job, now start a new one. Amen. I'll tell you, one of the most tired times of my life is right after the second vacation Bible school. I think the most tired time is after the first vacation Bible school. Then we have the second vacation Bible school. And I'll be honest with you, I'm exhausted. My brain's tired. Everything's tired. It's just tough. And you know, it's always then Satan attacks. Always. Right after school. I mean, the devil's already. He attacks us. He's not going to be merciful at all. What are you going to do? You keep reading your Bible. You keep praying. You keep walking with God. You stay as close as you've ever been. Yeah, but I just had a great victory. Praise God. Amen. You want another one? I mean, or do you want to climb the mountain and then fall off the cliff? Because I see it happen all the time when we're vulnerable. People are tired. I know that. Seniors, they're tired. They just took their final exams. Many of them, they're exhausted. But I preach to them in chapel. Look, it's not time to quit. It's not time to sleep in every day. You know, noon is not your time to get up unless you worked all night. Amen. Some of you young people, honestly, you've got this idea, well, I'm just going to sleep in every day till 10 o'clock. You're wasting time and you're just setting yourself up. Get up, read your Bible, do what you did when school was going on, read your Bible, spend time with God in prayer. Hand out gospel tracts, go soul winning, go to the team meeting, keep doing what is right, whether you get points, merits, whatever, whether you get that or not, doesn't matter. Amen. You do it because it will protect you. Do not slow down. Do not stop. Keep serving God. And wait on the Lord. You say, I'm exhausted. He'll unexhaust you. Amen. Amen. He will give you the strength that you need. You just have to keep doing right. Amen. When's he attack? He attacks right after victory. When's he attack? He attacks when we're vulnerable. When's he attack? Number three, when we're vain. When we're vain. Now here's the flesh right here, okay? This is the picture of the flesh at its height. Verse 18. He met thee by the way, smote the hindmost of thee, always attacking in the back, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint, weary. And look at Amalek. And he feared not God. My Sunday school class, that's the Laodicean church. We don't need God. To say you don't need God is to not fear God. It's to think somehow you can breathe on your own. It's to think somehow your heart can beat on your own. You got it all figured out. It's to think somehow I can actually make it on my own. It's saying, you know what? I can make my way. I can get my job. I can keep my job. I can do my job. I can make my way. I can make the money I need to make. I can always have enough money because I can do that because I am able to do that. And you know what? You've just set yourself up for a huge attack. Because what we're doing is we have no fear of God. A fear of God is absolutely essential for the Christian to make it. To not be overcome by Satan, to not give in to his temptation, to not succumb to the flesh that says, I don't need God. You ever wonder how in the world we get to the place where we say to God, you know what, I don't care what you say, I'm going to do what I want to do. You ever wonder? I mean, the big question I ask people many times, okay, is this God's will? And they'll say, I don't care. And it amazes me. They have set themselves up and they're about to be destroyed. But our flesh can become vain very easily. I got it figured out. I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah, but do you know what he wants you to do? No, I know what I'm doing. I got it under control. When we're vain. How do we become vain? Look at Romans 1. Here's how we become vain. By the way, vain means empty. Romans 1, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain. They became vain. When? When they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. There's no fear of God. That's when they became vain. We become vain when we have no respect for God anymore. We don't thank God anymore. A message like this morning's message doesn't thrill our soul. Because we kind of sit there and we look around and think, boy, he needed that. She needed that. Boy, that teenager needed that. Boy, they needed. And we never look at ourselves and say, that was me. I was dead. I was disobedient. That was me. But God. And we get a big smile on our face, but look what God did for me. And you know what? If we can't do that, we're becoming vain because we're not thankful anymore. When we can't sing the songs and praise him because he's who he is. I'm so sick of the feelings-oriented religion that is out there today. It's just got to tingle and feel good. No, it doesn't. It just has to be true. Tingling and feeling good nowhere is anything to do with our spiritual walk with God. Whether I tap my toe or not has nothing to do with what God has done in my life. It's what is true. And if it's true, man, that ought to thrill my soul. And he died for me and he saved me. And he brought me up from the dead. And he lifted me up to walk in heavenly places. Where I don't have to be in the midst of a cemetery all the time among the dead, but I can walk in heavenly places with him day after day after day after day after day. And it has nothing to do with anything I did. Nothing. Nothing. He did it all. And we become vain when we're not thankful for what he did. Look at Romans 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That, my friend, is a picture of a lost person That is a picture of a lost person and their sin. No fear of God before their eyes. That is our flesh. Our flesh has no fear of God. Our flesh will do anything and everything if our spirit doesn't stop it. Our flesh craves perversion, pornography, every kind of sin. Our flesh craves it. It craves wicked jokes, wicked stories, wickedness. It craves lustful things. It craves every kind of perversion. Our flesh, look at it in the Bible. Read about it in Galatians 5. The works of the flesh manifest. It's hideous to even think about. It should embarrass us to even talk about. It's who we are. It's our flesh. How in the world could we ever get to a place where we don't fear God? God, don't let this part of me ever be seen again. But we're just so casual. And it's been said before that those that are casual often become a casualty. Said in the Old Testament, they had no blush about the things of sin. No blush. No blush. What is that? It's no fear, no shame. What is that? It's when we become vain. We don't need God. You say, why? You know, preacher, I would never say that. When is the last time you prayed? Preacher, I would never say that. When is the last time you read your Bible? I'm telling you, if we're not reading our Bible, we're not praying, we're not faithful to church, we're not walking with God. Listen to me. That is vanity. That is saying, God, I don't really need you. I don't need your church. I don't need your Bible. I don't need your time to pray. I don't need you. I got it figured out myself. You're going to lose that battle. Proverbs 16:6. Just about done. Proverbs 16:6. What a good verse. Don't remember ever preaching on it. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. How do men depart from evil? It's the fear of the Lord. That's how. I'm convinced there are Christians all over the place who don't understand God has a paddle. I'm convinced of that. I mean, honestly, majority of our world of Christians today, I'm convinced they do not believe that God chastens, and yet God says, that is one of the proofs that I love you. And I'm convinced so many, there is no fear of the Lord. I'm convinced so many young people, there's no fear of the Lord. How do you know that? Because they don't respect authority. And He is the ultimate authority. If you won't respect your parents, you're not going to respect Him. If you won't respect your parents, you won't respect the pastor, the man of God. It's like, oh, it's no big deal. It is a big deal. But there's no blush. There's no, oh, this is no big deal. Hey, we can do this thing. And God says this. God says, if there's no fear of the Lord, that's why you're living an evil life. There's evil in your life. That's why you wouldn't want anybody to check your internet. You wouldn't want anybody to check what you watch on TV. You would not want anybody to see the kind of stuff. You've got your parents convinced it's just Christian rock, but it's filth. It's more than that, because Christian rock leads to rock. Always. Always. You get a hunger for that kind of music, it's going to lead you to where you keep getting fed. And pigs don't get far away from the trough. I'm telling you, once you feed at the trough, you say, how do you know? Because I fed at the trough for many, many long years, and it still pulls on me, even though I still think, suey, suey, suey. I think, what do you want out of there? My flesh says, oh, you like that. And yeah, the old flesh does, doesn't it? But see, there's a fear of the Lord. Amen. Amen. There's a fear of the Lord. There needs to be a fear of the Lord. Oh, we're in danger, folks. We're in danger when there's a victory. We're under attack when we're vulnerable. We're under attack when we're vain. And number four, we're under attack when we volunteer. We just passed. That's why we did all the sign-up sheets earlier. Amen. You say, I don't know if I want this. I'll be honest with you. I've been there many times. Why? Why do I keep begging for the target? Right? You know, it's like announcing anything that you're going to do that's going to win souls. It's like announcing anything. You know, Melba Collins, why don't we just keep having these cottage prayer meetings, Pastor? Well, you know, that's a great idea. And immediately I thought, devil's not going to like that at all. You know, it's like, okay, let's do this. Paint the target. Volunteer. You know why? Because Satan absolutely, positively hates it. He hates it when you serve God. He loves you to sit and say, I'm already busy. I know. Well, I really don't like vacation Bible school. Since when's that been a qualification for a volunteer to like it? I didn't know you had to like it. Fair ministry. Well, that's not my cup of tea. It's not tea. It's Kool-Aid. They won't let us do tea. So see, it'll work. How about prayer? You know, volunteer. Yeah. You'll be attacked. Put your name on that vacation Bible school list. You'll be attacked. Yeah. You know, it breaks my heart every year. I think we have all of them for the last maybe 8 years. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure of that. And I can remember the ones that wrote their name down and about 2 weeks later crossed their name out. You got attacked. I know how it is. Understand. Folks, the devil hates us. But what do? We keep going. You know, I heard one person, well, boy, you know, I'm glad summer's here. We can take a break. And I looked at my calendar. I said, but you know what? It's good not to take a break. It's best just keep going. Keep going. You get a momentum going. That's a good thing. In your life, it's a good thing. You got a good thing going, getting up early and reading your Bible, then get up early and read your Bible. Amen. Well, I'm gonna read my Bible 3 hours later every morning. You don't need that much sleep. You didn't work that hard during school. Just get up. Get up. Well, what am I going to do all that time? Ask your dad and your mom. You want something to do? Ask Pastor Rogers. I dare you. Well, how much can I make? That isn't what I said. Ask, volunteer. Well, but the devil isn't going to like that. You better believe he's not. But I know one who will like it. And he's bigger. Let me close with this. Deuteronomy 25:19. Therefore it shall be, when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about, hallelujah, glory to God, amen. That ain't today, though. In the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that someday, amen, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, thou shalt not forget it. That is so good. Blot out the remembrance of Amalek. And he said, hey, don't forget this now. One of these days, you won't have this old flesh. One of these days, somebody said, how are we going to make it in heaven? You will not have that old flesh. Won't be the world, won't be the devil, and won't be the flesh. Probably our greatest enemy is us. But that old flesh will not be in heaven with you. I've had people say, well, what if their mansion's bigger than my mansion? And won't I be jealous? Nope, because you won't be flesh. Isn't that good? Well, yeah, but they got more awards than I did. And you know what? If they did, they deserved them. You can do something about that on this side. But you're not going to care on that side. You're going to just give God glory on that side. Why? Because you won't have flesh. Huh? We'll sing Victory in Jesus, and you won't worry if anybody hears you sing. And you'll be able to sing. But it doesn't matter. The Bible says make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So if you sing, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever, and you have a joyful heart, then hallelujah, glory to God. He loves it. In heaven, It isn't going to matter. It's not going to matter what everybody thinks. Well, I'm going to be cool. Not in heaven, because you're not going to be flesh. Cool is out in heaven. Amen. Amen. You're not going to worry about what everybody thinks. Nobody's going to worry about what anybody thinks. You're there, all the heavenly Facebook will be no gossip, no negative, no bad. No, did you hear about so-and-so? It'll all just be good stuff, because nobody will want to hear any bad stuff. You know why? The only reason you want to hear bad stuff is your flesh. It's the reason we want to spread it, because it builds our flesh. And people say, wow, they knew that. Anyway, that's not in the notes. That's all free. But you know, it all is over someday. You know what? Until it is, we're under attack. Fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many tonight would say, preacher, God's spoken my